Father, we thank you again for this morning. We know that you are so awesome. You are even awesome in this place. You are awesome in our lives. You are awesome in the heavens and in the earth. And we worship you. Hallelujah. Lord, we declare this morning that the entrance of your word bring in light into our hearts and give us understanding, even as it is so written. Give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, thank God for another opportunity to continue in this series. We've been dealing with this prayer. Looks like a simple prayer of Moses, but it's very profound. You know, show me thy way, Lord, that I may know thee. And several pillars that we wanted to cover in this, seeking him in order to know him. And when we know him, we want to love him more, because you can't really love somebody you don't know. Then we transition to worshiping him. It's a powerful, powerful, you know, way of life. God's what God is looking for, true worshipers in the spirit. We covered all those, you might call them pillars, in this lesson. Today I want to talk about to serve him, to obey him. Serving is the same thing as to obey. We want to talk about that today. So that will be today's topic, is, well, serving. So there's some scriptures where God commands this thing, that we should serve the Lord. And we're going to look at those and see what else the Lord has to say to us on this topic. And at the end, we'll see what, you know, blessings there are from serving him. Praise the Lord. From the time that God was dealing with the children of Israel, he would give them commandments such as this. Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 4. You know, the Lord always spoke to them in these terms, you know, for them to serve the Lord and to obey the Lord. We'll talk about that in a bit. Deuteronomy 13 and 4 is one of the early things that the Lord said unto them. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice. And ye shall serve him, and cleave unto him. I mean, it's a powerful, powerful commandment. You know, and we see that many times throughout the Old Testament, God used to talk to them about, obey my voice, obey my voice, obey my voice. Because he was trying to guide them with that voice. But sometimes they disqualify themselves from even hearing his voice. But that was, you know, the attribute of himself that he wanted to guide them with at the time. So he always said it, obey my voice, obey my voice. And, you know, if you hear my voice and obey it indeed, there will be such and such. You know, so this verse, very powerful. It's a commandment that says that we must walk after the Lord and not after other gods or after anything else. We must fear him, keep his commandments, obey his voice, and serve him, and cleave unto him. Powerful. I mean, if we can guide our lives with these principles, to always walk after the Lord, you know, and to fear the Lord, and to keep his commandments, and to obey his voice, and to serve him, and to cleave from him. Wow. I mean, cleave to him. And, yeah, I think, anyone that can follow all those precepts, they got it made. Because this is a full plate of commanding us on how to follow after the Lord. You know, follow the Lord, with all your heart. We talked about loving the Lord with all our heart. This one says, walk after him. Yeah, don't depart from him. He goes before you. Follow him. Follow his ways. Paul said, you know, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, we must follow after the Lord. The things that he says, we must keep his commandments. We must obey his voice. You know, and we shall serve him, cleave unto him. You know, so that's very, very a powerful, powerful stuff. You know, for us to walk humbly before the Lord, to fear him, to do his commandments, to obey his voice, and to cleave unto him. Well, there's nothing else. Cleave means, well, we shall not walk away from the Lord. We shall not backslide or turn back. We shall stay with the Lord. There he goes. In fact, you know, there is a group of people that are depicted in Revelation 14. We're told that they cleave unto the Lord. They follow the Lamb wheresoever he goeth. I mean, you can't shake them off. Right there with him. Wheresoever he goes, they're right there. Cleave unto the Lord. Well, may that be our posture in life, in the name of the Lord Jesus, to obey his voice and to cleave on him. I mean, cleave to him. You know, what is, you know, what is the whole duty of man? Well, it's, he has said it right there. You know, that verse alone captures everything. Everything. You know, to fear him, to obey his voice, to cleave unto him, to walk after him. Wow. You know, and to do his commandments. That's it. You know, that verse captures everything, you know, that we have been trying to put out here. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, it says, what is the whole duty of man? What is it? It's a question. Well, I think it is answered in Deuteronomy 13 and 4. But, you know, this verse puts it out in his own way and says, well, the whole duty of man, let's consider it, is for us to do a number of things. One, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. You know, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Keep his commandments, or hear his voice, cleave unto him, do his statutes, do his will. These are all the things, you know, this is how the Lord used to deal with them in the Old Testament. It was always obey my voice, obey my voice, obey my voice. You know, but like I said, unfortunately, they did not want to hear his voice. Let's take a look at some other places where he told them this. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. Laid out a number of things that he commanded them to do in order for them to get this tremendous blessing of I am the Lord, I healeth thee. You know, four things that he laid out in this verse of what they must do. And it's all around the same thing. He said, well, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, see, that voice is there again. And you will do that which is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. Even though he says it in four different ways, they are all still saying the same thing. You know, then he said, well, then I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So we see that even healing can come, you know, from us being diligent to obey the voice of the Lord, to hearken to his voice, to do that which is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments. It can actually bring healing to our bodies. Here is an invitation that the Lord gave to the children of Israel. I've talked about this multiple times. In Exodus, chapter 19, God gave them this powerful, powerful invitation. Sad though that they thought they could do it, but they didn't do it. You know, Exodus chapter 19, it says in verse 5, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed." Now notice in all of these verses that we've been reading, there's always obey my voice there, or hearken to his voice. "If you obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation." And these are the words that I should speak unto children of Israel. This is what God told Moses. Now, so powerful, powerful invitation here to be a part of his kingdom of priests, to be a selected people, a chosen nation. Well, we see that 1 Peter 2 and 9, kind of repeats this thing to say that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar treasure unto the Lord. These were the things that the Lord spoke to the children of Israel about. And the invitation he gave them, come unto him and be like this. 1 Peter 2 and 9 will report it this way. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Now that's a kingdom of priests. That's what royal priesthood means. Same thing. A royal is, kingship. A kingdom of priests. A holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, the people that he spoke to in Exodus 19 will actually see that initially, they said, we're going to do it. Say, all that the Lord has spoken to us, we will do. But when it came right down to it, did they do it? Let's read, some of their stories. This is about obeying his voice and serving the Lord. The commandments that he wants you to do is in his voice. He will tell you. But They at first said, we're going to do it, but they didn't do it. So when Moses told them this thing, Moses came and spoke to the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord had commanded him. And in verse 8 of Exodus 19, here's the answer. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the answer to the Lord. Now, this is interesting that how that people's minds, will function at times, throughout the course of their lives. God commanded them, invited them with this tremendous invitation, and they accepted. They said, we will do it. All that the Lord commanded us, we will do. That's what they said. But let's see what actually happened. In the next chapter, here's what actually happened. After Moses received those commandments, we are told in Exodus 20 and verse 18. When all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings, and the noise of the trumpet and the mountains smoking, and when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. I said, wow. I don't think I've ever seen anything so pitiful in the Bible. When God said, obey my voice, listen to my voice. And they said, at first, we will do it. But then they said, no, we will not do it. We can't do it. If you hear his voice, we will die. Well, this is how they disqualified themselves from hearing the voice of the Lord directly. You know, and then Moses became a go-between. You know, you go hear it from God and you come tell us. Was that what God said? Say, all of you will be unto me kingdom of priests, not one man telling you what I said. You yourself, you know, will be in that relationship. You know, but you must obey my voice. You must be ready to do what I say. And well, but they said, no, we can't hear his voice. His voice is too terrible. And I just laugh at times. I say, wow, if God wanted to kill you, you'd be dead already. And so this business of if we hear his voice, you know, we'll die. My goodness. That's how they rejected the voice of the Lord. That's how Moses became a prophet unto them. There was no intention. It was, you know, it was God's messenger at first to them to bring them into the invitation or bring them the invitation that they should come into this relationship with God. And from that point on, Moses would have just stepped aside and they would have been the same, you know, if they had followed through. But because they rejected the offer finally, say we can't hear his voice, then pushed Moses forward, and Moses became a prophet unto them. Now this is sad because the same thing happens till today. When people refuse or choose to not seek the voice of the Lord themselves, then they'll be looking for a prophet, on somebody to tell them, and go from one place to another, looking for a prophetic word from this and from that and from the other. Whereas God invites you yourself, you know, to walk in that prophetic yourself. You know, you don't need some prophet to be telling you the mind of God. You know, you yourself can be in a position where you hear God's word and God's voice directly. And this is what God said. Obey my voice. You know, and this relationship journey of show me thy way that I may know thee. Well, we must learn to hear his voice, to discern his voice directly ourselves. So important. Furthermore, the Lord said, let's read a few other things. I want to connect serving the Lord and obeying together. Service and obedience. I want to connect that together. In the book of Romans chapter 6 verse 16, we covered this when we were in the book of Romans. And this powerful verse connects the two things together, you know, to show you that whosoever you obey, then you are the servant of that thing or person that you obey. So we're connecting obey and serve the Lord together. Here's what it says. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So you can see how he connects, you know, serving and obeying together. Basically, to obey is to serve. And for you to serve, you must obey. So that's why we're connecting those two things together in this verse. Psalm 100 and verse 2. The psalmist, you know, getting on this, you know, getting into this subject. Powerful subject, really, if we consider it all the way. And here's what it says, you know, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. We're talking about serving the Lord here. Serve the Lord with gladness. come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We must serve the Lord with gladness. It's a commandment to serve him. Here are some more places where the Lord commands them to obey his voice and to serve him. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 25. God gave this commandment not only to Moses, you know, but whatever he said to Moses was what he wanted to say to them. But unfortunately, because the rest of them said, well, we wouldn't obey, couldn't hear the voice. So God had to speak through Moses all the time. Listen to this. And ye shall serve the Lord thy God. Remember I said, you know, we'll connect the benefits that come from serving him. Well, in Exodus 15:26, we already read benefits of healing. Well, let's read some more here. Ye shall serve the Lord your God. And in doing so, he shall bless thy bread and thy water. Now take sickness away from the midst of thee. And again, he promises it. But also, not just sickness, removing of sickness here. Well, he'll actually bless your bread and your water. From the midst of thee could be two things. It could mean from among you. It will not be mentioned in your camp, as it is written in Isaiah 33 and verse 24. It says, the inhabitants will not say, I am sick. So that will not even be mentioned among you. But I love to take this even literally and say, from the midst of thee, which means if there's any sickness inside of me, well, the Lord can take that away as well. You know, kind of like, you know, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, well, the word of God is quick and it's powerful. And there are several things that it can do. Even when you ingest the word of God into your heart, it can also literally go inside your body. You know, that's, you know, some of the things that the word of God can do. It's so powerful. Listen to this. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrows. Joints and marrows are on the inside of us. The word of God can go in there and do some things. You know, that's been said that the marrow is even the factory for blood and so forth. The word of God can go in there and recreate things that are degenerating. You know, the word of God, you know, can go, you know, inside of us, like in the midst of thee. You know, the word of God, you know, can bring healing to us. You know, so when we have feeling of illness, well, you could use the word of God. Well, among other things that you need to do, you know, to eat right, rest, you know, do this and that, you know, whatever prescription the doctor is telling you to do. Well, the one that is most powerful comes from the word of God. You know, you can use the word of God to bring healing to yourself, even on the inside, because it said, you know, I'll take away sickness from the midst of thee. You know, so I take it both ways. It takes sickness from the, you know, gathering, any gathering that I belong to, such as my family, my church, this and that. But then also, you know, literally take sickness away from inside of me. Praise the Lord. And it talks about how this word of God can be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 8. And that's, you know, some of the blessings from obeying the voice of the Lord. Well, let's see some other things. In 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 24. And remember, we are connecting, obeying his voice with serving the Lord. You know, 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 24. Let's see, you know, what the Lord furthermore says on this subject. You know, here's what it says. I'm finding it here. Okay. It says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things the Lord has done for you. So Samuel was charging the people here to fear the Lord, similar to what Moses said. To fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. Even yesterday we talked about worshiping the Lord in truth. That means according to the scriptures. Anywhere you see in truth means according to scripture. Because thy word is truth, according to John 17 and 17. So, fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. And remember all the great things that he has done for you. That's even the more reason that we should love him, the more reason that we should serve him, you know, with all of our heart. Not just part of our heart, but all of our heart. Praise the Lord. Now, let's talk about obedience a little more. You know, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, you might know this story. It's a powerful one relating to how God sees obedience and how we sometimes justify ourselves. Now, this king Saul at the time, when the people had asked for Saul, or asked for a king rather, and God had put Saul there, and God had given him commandments against the Amalekites because of some things they did to the children of Israel before. God said, well, go in there and smite them to the ground. Take no prisoners and do all these things and so on. And the Lord gave him the instructions, so they went out to do it. But they did not carry out the instruction fully, exactly as the Lord said. You know, the Lord said you should utterly, utterly destroy the Amalekites. They did destroy a lot of them, but did not utterly destroy them. You know, the Lord sent thee on a journey. Samuel, you know, confronted him. When the Lord appointed you king over Israel, did the Lord not, were you not little when he brought you from nothing and made you to be king over Israel? For Samuel 15 and 17. When the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites and fight against them until they be consumed. Was that not the instruction the Lord gave you? Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord? Now let's listen to this story. It's kind of interesting. There's different twists in it. Wherefore didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord? But you saved some of the spoil, and you did evil in the sight of the Lord. Listen to what Samuel said. Yes, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I have gone the way which the Lord sent me. Yeah, and I brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I've utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Well, that was not exactly what the Lord said. The Lord didn't ask him to, or the Lord did not charge him to save anybody. He said, destroy them all. Well, he did most of it, but he saved the king. He took some of the spoil and so forth. He turned around now and blamed it to the people. Well, it's not the people. It's you that the Lord charged. You know, he said, well, but the people took the spoil, the sheep and all these things, and the chief of the things that should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord, that God in Gilgal. See how he's justifying himself? Jesus said in Luke chapter 16, verse 15, ye are they which justify yourselves before the Lord. And he's justifying himself. Well, I've done it. I did what the Lord said. And Samuel said, well, you know, this excuse that you are making we kept this thing to sacrifice unto the Lord. Listen to this in verse 22. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, it is better to obey and to give burnt offering and sacrifice, and to hearken is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion, you know, rebellion is, you know, when your commander in chief tells you to do something and you don't do it. You know, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness, arguing and so forth. When the Lord told you to do something, is as iniquity and idolatry. You know, you argue your way instead of surrendering the heart to the Lord. He said, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. So powerful story here. You know, Saul began to say, well, you know, I fear the people and obey their voice. Well, should you obey the voice of the people rather than the voice of the Lord? See, so this is a great lesson. In his mind, Saul, he equated doing 90% of what God commanded to, you know, 100%. So, well, I did most of it, so I've done it. The Lord said, no, you did not do it. You know, so it is important for us that we obey his voice and do exactly what he says. Don't take away from his words and don't add to it either. Do what he says. Sad lesson for this man. The twist was in that, you know, because of that thing he did, he lost the kingdom. The kingdom was taken from him. And, you know, so unfortunately, because he did not adhere to the word of God 100%, it brought a great loss into his life. And that was really bad for him. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7, verse 23. What else does God say, or did God say, to the people of Israel on this subject? He said, well, this thing I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. You shall be my people, and you shall walk in all the ways I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. But they hearkened not, in that they inclined their ear, but they walked in the counsels and imagination of their evil heart, and went backward rather than going forward after the Lord. You know, so, you know, Jeremiah was always calling them out, you know. But you see, obey my voice, obey my voice, obey my voice. Yeah? That was strictly the way that the Lord wanted to deal with them, and to order them and to lead them in the Old Testament. But they didn't do it. And there were a lot of promises that followed if they would have done it. But because they didn't do it, well, a lot of evil also befell them. You know, so today when we're talking about serving the Lord and obeying him, well, in our day, well, let's see, you know, how the Lord would. Let's look at some scriptures in the New Testament. Say, well, that's Old Testament. Okay, well, let's look at scriptures in the New Testament of how the Lord, you know, expects obedience and commands it, actually, you know, from us, you know, and how to serve the Lord. The Lord put a choice out there, you know. He said, well, you cannot serve two masters. Matthew 6 and verse 24. Either you will hate the one and you love the other, or else you hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Mammon is the god of money. You can't do it. You know, so, you know, if we spend all our life focused on making money, earning money and doing this and running after money, and that thing becomes priority for us over, you know, the love of God in our hearts. As we read before, say, love not the world, and so forth. If any man love the world, love the Father is not in him. 1 John 2:15. You might remember that. Well, if we are more consumed about those things than we are about serving and loving God. And Jesus said, well, you can't, you got to make a choice. You know, who are you going to serve? God or these other things? And in the story that Jesus told in Matthew 13 of the parable of the sower, the seed fell among, you know, in one situation, it fell among thorns. And Jesus said, well, those were the people that received the word quite all right, but because of the chaos of this life, deceitfulness of riches and all the other things, chasing this, chasing that, those things choked the life of the word out of them. You know, so we got to be very careful. Jesus put it out here. Well, you cannot serve God and anything else. Pick what you will serve, either God or the pursuit of money. I mean, of all the things that Jesus could say we should be careful of, why did he choose mammon? Well, because this is the thing that we are constantly pursuing, and it could create difficulties for the life of faith, because we can, that it's like the thorns that choke the life, you know, out of the seed that was trying to grow. Jesus called it the chaos of this life and deceitfulness of riches and so on. So we got to be very careful. Joshua, he laid a charge before the Lord, I mean the people of the children of Israel. He said, well, you know, choose you this day whom you will serve. Joshua 24 and 15. If it seem evil for you to serve the Lord, well, then choose whether you are going to serve the Lord or the gods and so forth on the other side. You know, but he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's somebody that was determined. Doesn't matter what you guys do in my house, I'm going to order my house, all right, and then serve the Lord. Joshua 24 and 15. And he made his choice. Other people will said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. You know, for the Lord is our God. He brought us out of the land of Egypt and so forth. Well, that's good. But it's not good enough if you say it with your mouth. Listen to what Joshua told them. You know, in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 19, Joshua told them, said, ye cannot serve the Lord. Well, it's a holy God. You know, you cannot, because, you know, you're not ready, you know, to give up everything and to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. You're still hanging on to some things on the side. Say, you can't serve the Lord then. For he is a jealous God. I will not forgive your transgressions. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, you are serving the Lord on one hand, but you're also serving all these other things and so forth. You know, then, you know, the Lord is going to turn and do you hurt and consume you, he told them. You know, even after he has done you good. Joshua was very bold. He put this thing out there. Same thing as Moses said. I said before you today, good and evil. If you choose, you know, to serve the Lord, good will come to you. If you choose to disobey him, then evil will come upon you. Deuteronomy chapter 28, the whole chapter. You know, spent 14 verses talking about the blessing that will come if they obey the Lord. And then 20-something other verses talking about all the evil that will come upon them if they do not obey the voice of the Lord. So, must obey the voice of the Lord. And he said, ye are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen the Lord. Because the people say, oh, we choose the Lord to serve him. Say, well, and say, yeah, we are witnesses. Okay, Joshua said, all right. But remember, you cannot serve the Lord with one hand and serve the Lord, serve other things with the other hand. You must cleave unto him fully. The people say, we are going to do it. We can do it. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and sent them a statutes and an ordinance in Shechem. And he told them that, remember, you said this, and so this will be unto you if you don't do it. You know, and God was always demanding, you know, complete allegiance to him. We cannot serve the Lord and serve other things. Let's read some of the words of Deuteronomy 28. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Remember, that's that voice again. That was the way every single time that God came to them in the Old Testament. Obey my voice. Obey my voice. Hearken to my voice. You know, if you hearken to observe and to do all the commandments which I command this day, well, it shall come to pass that the Lord thy God will set you up then above all nations of the earth. The blessing shall come upon you and overtake you if that thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And he laid out all these blessings. You'll be blessed in the city. You'll be blessed in the field. You know, the fruit of your body will be blessed. The fruit of your ground will be blessed. The fruit of your cattle will be blessed. The increase of your kind, the flocks of thy sheep. You know, the Lord will bless your basket and your store. That means basket is what you eat out of right now that's on your table. Store is what you have laid up for the future. So God will bless you in providing for you. Your basket will never be empty. And there's always going to be enough laid up for you in your store. The Lord will bless you when you go in, come out, and do all these things. The Lord will bless you. Lord will cause your enemies to rise up against you to be smitten before you. They come out to you against you one way. They flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command a blessing upon thee in your storehouses. Now, all of these things is for obeying and serving the Lord. You know, and everything that you set your hand to, the Lord shall bless you in the land that he's giving you. Will establish you a holy nation unto himself, and so on and so forth. And all the people of the earth shall know that you are called by the name of the Lord. They will even be afraid of you. The Lord will make you plenteous in goods, the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy ground, and so on. Even in the land which the Lord thy God have given to you, the Lord shall open unto you his good treasure. The heaven to give you rain unto thy land in its season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. I mean, you will not labor in vain. It's not for you to, you know, walk, earn the money only to put in a bag of holes. You know, when you obey the voice of the Lord will make sure that doesn't happen. Bag of holes means you're earning money, but you're spending it to fix problems. It's like the money is just being drained away from you. You know, the Lord said, well, if you obey my voice, that will not be the case. You know, the Lord will bless the work of your hands. You'll be a lender, not a borrower. The Lord will make you head and not the tail. You know, you'll be above only and not beneath. I mean, power, all these powerful blessings and promises, all because of obeying the voice of the Lord and serving him. Well, if that thou shalt hearken to the commandments of the Lord, you will be above, you will never be beneath. You know, all these commandments that I command you today to do them and to obey them, you shall not turn aside and so forth, you know. And, but if you turn to the left or the right, you can see, you know, the first 14 verses talking about, you know, the blessings that they will receive if they do the words of the Lord, you know, and then, you know, the rest of the chapter, about 50 something more verses, talk about all the evil that will come against them, you know, if they do not do the, you know, this thing of following the voice of the Lord. You can see how great evil the Lord pronounced about them. Three times as long, you know, more, even longer than all the things that he said they would enjoy. And so be very careful now. We must serve the Lord our God. I don't even want to read the negative side. Let's stay with the positive side. Praise the Lord. Now, furthermore, you know, in the book of, in the New Testament, the Lord said some things, you know, to help us understand how true service of the Lord is and how we should do it, you know, and with humility unto the Lord, not thinking that, you know, we're doing anything. Listen to this in the book of Luke chapter 17. you know, and verse 7. We'll read from maybe verse 7 to verse 10. Here's what the Lord said. He said, which of you, right, having a servant that's plowing or feeding cattle, shall say unto him by and by when he's come from the field, go and sit down to meat? Will he not rather say to him, make ready wherewith I may eat and drink and so forth? Guard yourself and serve me. That's what the servant does. Serve the master. Till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward you shall eat and drink. Right? I mean, does he thank that servant because he had done the things that were commanded him? Jesus said, I don't think so. So likewise ye, you know, when you shall have done all the things that I commanded you, this is the posture that should be in your mind. We are unprofitable servants because we have done only that which was our duty to do. And sometimes we have not even done that which was our duty to do. So let no man think when he's doing anything for the Lord that he is anything. We are nothing. Jesus made that very clear here. It's the Lord commanded you. You must do it. And the servant does what the master said. Does the master thank the servant for doing what he was, you know, commanded to do? He said, no. When he finished that one, you give him some other thing to do. And then he keep doing it. He said, so you be of the same mind. Humble yourself before the Lord. He tells you, you do. You are my friends, Jesus said. If you do, you know, whatsoever I command you. So that's in John chapter 15 and verse 14. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. If you don't, well, then you are not my friends. There is a song that says, I am a friend of God and all that. Every time I hear that song, I challenge myself to say, well, you know, really? Am I doing whatsoever he commands me? That's the qualification to be his friend. You can't just say I'm your God's friend. Are you? Well, Jesus laid it out here. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Jesus says, and we do. End of story. That's what makes us into a relationship, this inner circle relationship with him. He said, well, I'll call you friends. You know, you can move, you know, from being a servant to being friends by doing, the servant does everything, you know, first of all, well, and then when the master begins to trust that servant, he will tell him certain things. Before, all he told his servant was, do this, do this, do this, do this. Doesn't really know why. Doesn't explain anything to him. Just tell him what to do. You know, when he has been faithful in doing whatever was commanded to him without explanation, then he brings himself to a place where he may qualify for explanation or reason. Well, if a man has a chauffeur that drives him around, a rich man and so forth, wealthy to do man of stature, timber and caliber, as we say it in Nigeria, you know, he may say to the driver, we're going to this place today. And the man will drive him there. He doesn't need to explain to the driver what he's going to do there. You know, so you just drive him there. And maybe stay in the car until he's done and then drive him back to some other place or whatever he wants him to go. I don't have to tell him why he's going there. None of the driver's concern. He's just a servant. Doesn't know the master's will. That's what Jesus is saying. But he said, look, I have promoted you from that level into a level of friendship because now, you know my will. I've explained certain things to you, but you start out by serving him. You can't know his will if you don't serve him even without knowing. First, you just have to do what he says, whether you understand it or not. Just do it because he said it. And then later on, you will understand. But first you must do. You say, wow, how can I do without understanding? Well, he that comes to God must first believe that he is. You know, can't try to understand, well, is God really out there? You know, that's not how it works. First, you must believe that he's out there. Then he will reveal himself to you. Yeah, so it's the same thing. First, you must do what he says. Then he will reveal to you some secrets of why he wants you to be this way. You know, that's really show me thy way. That's right. Then show me thy way. The Lord will show you the way. And then you will know even more intimately. But it must start with our obedience. Obedience is everything. In the story in Garden of Eden, we saw it was disobedience. According to Romans chapter 5, one man's disobedience was what brought all of this evil upon us until this day. One man's disobedience. So you can see why obedience is so important. I mean, if Adam had to do it all over again, I guarantee you, he would do it a different way. He would have put his foot down and said no to Eve. And if Eve had to do it all over again, she would have put her foot down and said, get thee behind me, Satan, get away from here. And she would not have listened. But they disobeyed the Lord. See, the Lord put the commandment out there. You know, you can't second guess the Lord, you know, and say, well, you know, that's not really the reason that he told you that. He knows something else which he doesn't want you to know, this and this and this. No. That's not how it works. The Lord says, and we do. He said, "You of all the trees that are in the garden, you may freely eat. But this one over here, stay away from it. The day that you eat of it, you will die." That's a simple instruction. The slick guy comes along and says, hello, mama. How are you doing today? Looking good now. You look even much better, you know. If you eat of this, you'll be wise, you know. You'll be like the gods and so forth. And you look even much better and all of this. I'm beginning to appeal to her senses, you know. And she will consider the thing. Well, don't consider the thing. The Lord always said, don't do it. That's it. Don't even consider it. You know, so that disobedience is why we have all this mess. And this problem that we have till today. So that's how serious obedience and disobedience, you know, can be. But thanks be unto God that whereas one man's, disobedience brought us death, and death reigned from Adam all to Moses and then even all to Christ, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He said, for as by one man's disobedience, this is Romans chapter 5, verse 19, one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one, which is Christ, glory to God, shall many be made righteous. Now that we have, you know, received the righteousness of God through Christ's obedience, well, let us continue to walk in that obedience. You know, something passes to us, you know, by inheritance from Christ. But it's up to you now to keep it. It's the same way that God passes blessings to the seed of the righteous. You know, people talk about generational curses. Well, I love to talk about generational blessings. The seed of the righteous are blessed. Hallelujah. Listen to this. In a little digression, but it's worth it. In Psalm 112, starting even at verse 1, you see how powerful blessings God puts upon the righteous, even down to their generations. I taught this before. The promise that God gave to Abraham, he passed it on to Isaac. The promise he gave to Isaac, he passed it on to Jacob. The promise of Jacob passed it on to, you know, the rest of them. You know, and finally, David and Christ and so forth. You know, here's what it says in Psalm 112. These blessings that came to us by Christ, well, they came already, but we must retain them through our own integrity and walking in righteousness. Listen to this. Same thing for the righteous. You know, he says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Well, what will happen to the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in the Lord's commandments? Well, that delighteth to obey his word. Even his children, not the man himself now, but this blessing is passing on to his generation. Glory to God. Listen to this. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed because of the upright's righteousness. Their seed after them, they are already blessed. Now, but for them to retain that blessing, they themselves must walk in the integrity of their heart. I mean, you know, Solomon was blessed because of David, but Solomon himself, you know, had to walk in God's ways. If he didn't walk after all those crazy gods, then God's anger would be upon him. So we got the blessing from Christ. But we must, in order for us to retain the blessing, we ourselves must individually walk in obedience. By Christ's obedience, we've already received righteousness. That's it right there. But now by your own obedience, well, we receive many blessings. All these blessings that we have seen in the scriptures today. Let's look at a few other things quickly that Jesus spoke about. In John chapter 14, this is a popular verse that I like, and that's why I speak on it from time to time. I've spoken on it 3 or 4 times in this series already. But John chapter 14, verse 21 to 24 talks about how Christ views obedience and the promises that he channels to us through our obedience. You know, he that keepeth my commandments, he said, he it is that loves me. And if a man loves me, now keeping his command, that's obedience. And Jesus is saying, well, that's the proof of your love, obedience. You know, but if indeed you love me, well, then there are some benefits. You know, that, you know, this is, you know, it's reciprocity. You love the Lord with all your heart. Well, there's some blessings. You know, there's some love that God gave to us, whether we love him back or not. That one is found in John 3 and 16. Whether you love the Lord or not, he loved you already and gave Christ, you know, for our sins. That's a one-way street, you know. But this one is both bi-directional. This is not just because God loved us. This is because we love God. If you love me, Jesus said, well, then you keep my commandments. And then in return, I will love you some more. This is not that love that he already gave to everybody. He already did that for everybody. But now this is differentiated. The person that keeps his command, it's all about obeying him. The trigger to this is obedience. Keep my commandments. That proves you love me. Keeping commandments means obey and serving him. Tells you, you do. Then, well, I will love you. My Father will love you. And I will manifest myself to you. Not to everybody will he manifest himself, but to the one that keeps his commandments. That's it. And he said, well, when you keep my commandments, then I'm coming to you. Huh? And I will make my abode with you. Now, that's not a blessing that everybody can get. The promises of God, the blessings of God, the things are out there, but there are certain conditions to things. This condition of God revealing himself to you in a more personal way and he coming to make his abode with you, it's not for everybody. It's for those who obey him. You obey him. You know, even we're told that, you know, the Holy Spirit is even given to those that obey him. Did you know that? Did you actually know, you know, that this, you know, scripture is in the Bible, that the Holy Spirit is given to those that obey him? Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. It says, we are witnesses of these things. So also is the Holy Ghost, which God has given to them that obey him. So you can see the benefits of obedience. Even the Holy Spirit, which is the form in which Jesus will come to you. You know, Jesus is not physically coming, you know, now to anybody in bodily form. He's coming in the Holy Spirit. He said, you know, when I go, I'll come to you in another form. You know, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I'm the comforter. You know, so Holy Spirit is coming to you. That's Jesus in a different dimension now, you know, and he will be with you, that he may be with you forever, he said. Comforter, Spirit of truth, guide you to everything. But because you obey him, those who obey him, they get those benefits. If you don't obey, you may not get those benefits, even though the benefits are promised to everybody. You know, so these are some things, that lessons we should learn. Let me read two or three more scriptures quickly here. In the book of, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we want to know that, you know, this is the way God sees us, and this is the way we should see ourselves, right? He says, when you are joined to the Lord, you are one spirit. And he says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? See, this is the Holy Spirit we're talking about, which you have of God, and you are not your own. So you can't do anything by yourself. You are bought with a price. And people don't like to say, to hear that, but that's the way it is. We are bought with a price. God owns us lock, stock, and barrel. You know? So, one translation actually says we are slaves. God purchased us. And that's the truth. You know, he owns us. We don't own ourselves. Therefore, we must do what he says. We must glorify God in our body and in our spirit. Additional blessings to doing, you know, what he says are found in some more scriptures, such as Colossians. Let me read this one first before I read the other. You know, the anything that we do, you know, we must do in obedience to the word of God. This is also part of his commandments. Listen to this. In the book of Colossians, you know, chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, he says, whatsoever you do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So your life is a life of service to the Lord. And even in whatever you're doing, know that you're doing as unto the Lord. You should do it as unto the Lord. Don't do it as unto men. You know, say, well, I'll just do it haphazardly. No. The life that we live now by the faith of Jesus Christ is for the service of the Master. And everything we do, whether in word or deed or whatsoever, verse 17 says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him, and do it heartily as unto the Lord, knowing that we serve the Lord, and of him you shall receive the reward. Praise the Lord. So, you know, powerful, powerful lessons. And even 1 John would tell us some of the things, additional benefits of receiving what we ask of the Lord? Well, this is the way he says it. You know, he says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Why? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing his sight. That's obeying him, basically. And I've often characterized this verse as two kinds of obedience. Active obedience, which is God said something and you do it actively. You know what he commanded. And then passive obedience, in that we are willing to please him. It's not because he said A or B or black and white. You know, A or B or black and white, you do, that's active obedience. But, you know, you just want to please him, even if he has not point blank commanded that particular thing at that particular time. But you want to do his pleasure. And that's passive obedience. In either case, when you do these things, well, it says is a guaranteed of answered prayers. Whatsoever we ask of him, we receive. Because we keep his commandments, that's obeying him, and we also do that which is pleasing in his sight. And finally, Jesus said it this way. The blessing that a person would receive that serves the Lord, Jesus encapsulates it this way in John chapter 12 and verse 26. And this is all about serving and obeying him. If any man serve me, let him follow me. If you're going to serve him, remember where we started, Deuteronomy 13 and 4, that you will walk after the Lord your God. That's follow him. So we started with that and we're ending with it here. If any man will follow me, I just walk after me, after my way. Well, he said, let him, if you were to serve me, then follow me. If any man will serve him, me, let him follow me. And where I am, this is a blessing that comes from serving the Lord and following him. Well, he said, where I am, there shall also my servant be. Praise the Lord. It means there's no separation anymore. We are together all the time. Where he is where I am. Where I am is where he is. You know, God has been our dwelling place and we ourselves are the dwelling place of the Lord. It's both ways. Has been our dwelling place forever and we are his temple, his dwelling place. So we are fused together as one. Well, where I am. And to be called the servant of the Lord is a great honor too. Because Jesus was called my righteous branch, my servant, the righteous branch. Jesus himself was called the servant of the Lord in that he was the messenger of the covenant. He came to do his father's will. He said, I came not to do my own will, but my master's will. When you are sent, then you are a servant. You know, that's right. And Jesus was sent on a mission. And he said, well, where I am, that will my servant be. And if any man serve me, my father will honor him. Yeah, that's the kind of honor that we need. Not the honor of men, but the honor of the Father. Praise the Lord. So ladies and gentlemen, that's this pillar of serving and obeying him. There's more that can be said, but I want to wrap it up in this one lesson here. To obey him is better than sacrifice. You know, sacrifice and say, oh, you know, I want to do. No, obey him. You know, that's the thing. And let's not say with our mouth that we will and not actually do it. Those people said it with their mouth. They didn't actually do it. So I'm just summarizing the things that we have covered. They said yes, but when it came down to it, they didn't do it. You know. Same story as the two children. The father said, go walk in my field. One of them said, yes, I go right away. But he didn't do it. And Jesus said to us in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, he gave the final analysis of how everyone will be treated You know, not just people who have said, yes, yes, Lord, Lord, you know, but whether they actually do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. If they are not doing it, just saying it with their lips, yes, Lord, or yes, I will, but not doing it, well, it's not good enough. You know, praise the Lord. So, this is our lesson today. And I wrap up by saying, you know, that he, you know, that doeth the will of the Father, you know, or doing the will of God will abide forever. If you do the will of God, that's a verse for that, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17, he said, well, some things will pass away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. To do the will of God, you know, means that we are keeping his commandments and serving him. What is the whole duty of man again? Is to fear the Lord and keep his commandments. And if we are so doing, a tremendous blessing will follow. And that's what this scripture says in 1 John 2 and 27. Praise the Lord. So, that's our lesson today. Praise the Lord. That is how we will conclude this lesson. 1 John 2, 17. I mean, not 2:27. In 1 John 2, 17, we conclude by saying that, you know, the world will pass away. Many things will pass away. But he that doeth the will of God will abide forever. They will even enter into the kingdom. Jesus said, those are the ones that will enter in. Father, I thank you, Lord, for today's lesson. You have spoken to us on doing his commandments and doing his will, doing God's will, doing his commandments, doing your will, and obeying your voice. We pray, Lord, that we may serve you in this way. Fear the Lord, walk after the Lord, obey his commandments, do his bidding, and cleave unto him. And even so shall we serve the Lord. Grant us the grace, Lord, to keep this charge that you have charged us even in the word of God. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory for showing us the benefits that come from keeping his commandments and doing his will. Shall be unto me a peculiar treasure, he said, a kingdom of priests indeed. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.